Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's fundraiser for Barack Obama. And now please welcome our keynote speaker, Senator Hillary Clinton.
This one's for you, Barack Obama. At first I was ahead, I was satisfied. Kept thinking you could never win, you're too unqualified. Then I spent so many nights working on the campaign trail. Do you think I failed? That I gave up 'cause I'm not male? So now you're in, you made your case. Though in delegates you beat me in the nomination race, I still have one state on my side. I wipe away your foolish grin, 'cause in the state that's called delusion, I still think that I can win.
Today's guest, very talented and funny co-founder of the Capital Steps, Elena Newport. You're listening to the Eagles Talent Connection podcast.
Did you think I'd go walk out that door? Just turn around and hang it up, 'cause I'm not winning anymore. My ambition's still alive. From now on, I won't even sleep. I'm pinning all my hopes on dreams that they will catch you with a sheep. Well, hey, it could happen.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Eagles Talent Connection podcast, and I'm your host, Sheldon Senek. Today, we have a very entertaining treat as we catch up with Elena Newport of the Capital Steps. So, sit back and enjoy. Elena Newport, welcome to the Eagles Talent Connection podcast.
Well, glad to be here.
Well, great to have you here.
Let's have a beer.
I'd love it. This early in the morning. So, before discussing the Capital Steps, what I'm curious about is what caused you to switch from being a music major at Maryland to a business major?
Well, I got very practical. I mean, I was a piano major for a while in college. I thought, what will I ever do with that? And little did I know that many years later I'd be doing a political satire show that involves music and politics and just about everything else you can imagine, current events. And so it all worked out well.
Does it surprise you that you just couldn't escape your destiny?
Well, I don't think any little kid sits around thinking, I want to be a political satirist when I grow up. I mean, but I did listen to a lot of Tom Lehrer and a lot of Mark Russell and a lot of, Alan Sherman, who did song parodies when I was a little kid.
So here's a chicken or the egg question. When you were a mild-mannered staffer, who approached who first? Did you approach Bill Strauss, or was it the other way around?
Well, we were just actually thinking, okay, what are we going to do for this year's Christmas party? We worked for Senator Charles Percy, and we thought, okay, we need some entertainment for the Christmas party. And I played the piano. Bill had written some song parodies, and we actually rehearsed, and it was the early days of Reagan. So I remember doing songs about James Watt, the new Secretary of the Interior. We did Mine Every Mountain, and we did the Musketeers for Ed Meese. And we did songs about Reagan, and we thought, oh, my goodness, I hope we don't get fired for doing this. And now, 28 years later, we're still doing it, and we did quit our day jobs and move on and kind of do the Capital Steps full time.
Did Charles Percy ever call you into his office to reprimand you, or?
Well, we seriously did expect that. We seriously expected that we would be told to stop because we were Senate staffers, and or maybe even fired. But but what really surprised us over the years and still does is that the politicians tend to be good sports. Many of them have come to our show. They've come to see the Capital Steps. They've gotten on stage with us. Many senators, several presidents. So it's kind of been a surprise over the years. President Bush Sr. invited us many times and even got up and sang with us a few times.
Was there a worry when your show, when it went public outside of your congressional peers?
For the first few years we did the show, we did it like you had to know a password and knock on the door, and we didn't do the show in public. And then we got kind of bold after a few years. We started doing a couple private events, and then we started doing public shows at the Shoreham Hotel, which was Mark Russell's old haunt. And we sort of got bolder after a few years because nobody stopped us and nobody really gave us any trouble.
So having performed in front of presidents, what's your favorite president experience, and do you have a least favorite?
Well, I guess one of the funny things that happened, and happened more than once, was that when we were performing for, I remember George Bush Sr. in particular this happened with, you know, the staff was very nervous, and they would say, well, now don't do anything about the president, and don't do anything about Dan Quayle, and don't do anything about Sununu, who was in trouble. I mean, they had a whole list.
Wow.
And we did our show. We, you know, we kind of tried to work around the requests, and at the end of the show, President Bush stood up and said, now this show's been censored. I want to hear what you have about me. So we then we had official, you know, permission to go ahead and to do what we had, and it was a lot of fun.
What's amazing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Capitol Steps show consists of 5 performers and a pianist.
That's right, and we do maybe 30 songs in the show. So what you might find is that the same performer who's playing, you know, Governor Mark Sanford of South Carolina is also, you know, stuffing himself, coming back as, you know, as Dick Cheney or Lou Dobbs, or, you know, like we have pretty much anybody in the news is in the show. And I think our show is the only place that you can see, you know, Kim Jong Il sing a show tune, the Supreme Court do a disco, and Dick Cheney do a rap.
I had a stroke, maybe 4 or 5. A lot of folks asked, is he still alive? An election to replace me now must be done. No, I'm only joking, I'm picking my son. And I feel so proud when he says to me,
I want to be like you, Dad. I want to be just like you.
So who is your personal favorite politician to play?
Well, it does depend on who's most current. I mean, I have fun with Hillary right now, Secretary of State.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that's really, you know, fun about her is because she, you know, of course she wishes she was president, and she really thinks it should have been her. So we play her with tightly coiled, you know, barely repressed, you know, anger about that. But we have a song called Ebony and Ovaries.
Right.
And we do that with Hillary and Barack. And that's a lot of fun because I just love a really good pun like that.
Ebony
and ovaries is the ticket to liberals' destiny.
Just like Alex Rodriguez, yes sir,
we've got chemistry.
He'll, you know, folks say that he's untested wherever he goes. He'll need lots of help and expertise to get things done from day one in his new White House.
His resume's thin,
like an Olsen twin.
Bill, you did campaign for me. Is there some way to thank you personally?
Just how soon can you send her somewhere, please, that's overseas?
What is your writing process, and how has it changed over the years? Do you sit around now with iPhones and text each other?
Well, yeah, you're right, because in the early days it was, you know, maybe phone calls in smoke-filled rooms, but now it's emails and text messages back and forth. In fact, I just do remember just the other night texting a line update to everybody in the cast because something happened. But, you know, the writing process is basically you take a story. Maybe a good example is, you know, a governor of South Carolina says he's hiking on the Appalachian Trail, and turns out he's in Argentina. So there you have a very logical, you know, Don't Cry For Me Argentina cover. You really
right.
need to use that song, because when else are you going to get to use
take
a song about Argentina? What scandal has involved Argentina for? So, and then there's other times you look for a rhyme. For example, Kim Jong-il comes out and sings, How Do You Solve a Problem Like Korea? So, of course, you know, that's everybody remembers
right.
the Singing Nuns and the Sound of Music. And that's one of those universal songs. And we try to look for those kinds of songs.
Right.
For example, this, you know, we've had the whole having beers at the White House with Officer Crowley and Professor Gates. And so we took Officer Krupke from West Side Story. And that's just a great song that people remember from seeing that movie.
Hey, Officer Crowley, you white racist swine. I know you try to save me from a house that is mine. You're asking me questions because I am black. You'll be berated by Barack, by Barack, by Barack, by Barack, just because I'm black. Now the press.
So, rock groups like the Police have their hits that audience must hear, like Walking on the Moon or Roxanne. Is the same true for the Capitol steps?
Well, I think what's true of the Capitol steps is that people want to hear the newest stuff, the latest scandal. Mm-hmm. I mean, people come to our show, and if you've got a song about, you know, Officer Crowley arresting Professor Gates, and it's 2 days after the event happened, people really, really love that.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we try to do all the time. It's a lot of pressure, but sometimes the audience is really with you on something like that. They just really appreciate the topical reference, even if you just said, you know, have Barack saying somebody acted stupidly.
Shakespearean plays. Look for actors who can act in an iambic pentameter. How difficult is it to find actors who sing and act in the lush language of politics?
Well, our auditions are very bizarre.
Uh-huh.
people come in and a lot of them, they'll prepare a song, and we've asked them to do that, and they'll sing maybe something beautiful like Some Enchanted Evening.
Okay.
And then we'll say, okay, now can you sing that as if you're Osama bin Laden, you know, and you're in your cave?
Right.
And they look at us like we're crazy, and then once they get the job, they realize that really is what they have to do. I mean, we might have Osama bin Laden sing a show tune.
I'd hate to be in the callbacks for your auditions. Lord knows what we make us do. I imagine your show contains many props. Do you keep your prop master locked up or feed them lots of Oreo cookies?
We have more prop changes than a Cher show. That's what somebody told us one time. But we have the person who does our props, it's very interesting because I will have to say to her occasionally, okay, I need 4 extra large pig costumes by Friday because there's been a swine flu outbreak and we need to do a song about swine flu.
Does a TSA ever question the props you arrive with?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a very good question because the TSA has occasionally pulled things of ours.
And do you find they play with them later?
We were actually interrogated at length in a certain airport in South Carolina, and I won't name the airport because there was somebody that we would describe as a local Barney Fife who thought that he had really found something because we were traveling with, you know, things that look like we might dress up like terrorists, but it was just for the show.
Right. How does the last presidential campaign stack up against previous?
This was a tough one. You know, Barack wasn't super funny.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Palin was a gift from the gods, the
right.
comedy gods. But it's funny because when Sarah Palin's nomination for vice president was announced, we hadn't heard of her either, and
uh-huh.
we had Mitt Romney songs ready, if you can believe that.
Right.
And so when she was picked, we had to Google her right along with everybody else.
Right.
And, of course, it came up that she was a moose-hunting, you know, gun-toting beauty queen, and we couldn't have been more perfect.
Yeah.
But
I'm
we,
sure
we
after
were
her
sweating
interview,
it out at first.
After her interview on the news with Katie Couric, I'm sure it was a little bit easier.
Oh, definitely. It was much easier, you know, see Russia from my house and all that. She became just gold for us. But at first, we were not sure what to do. We felt like we had to get something in right away. So we did, you know, Alaska jokes, basically, at first.
Right.
You know, we are really concerned that people have mortgages on their igloos, that they might lose their igloos, you know, things like that. We had no idea.
Well, you know, on one end, you have politicians who are trying to stop themselves from making guffaws. And on the other end is you, just waiting to prey on the carcass. and you must really appreciate people like Sarah Palin and Joe Biden. And as a matter of fact, one of my favorites, I read in your book, 16 Scandals, which is great, Pearl Harbor Day, the day that Bush Sr. declared September 7th as Pearl Harbor Day. And
right.
then you try to remember that date in September.
And he actually, George Bush Sr. actually got up and sang that with us on stage. He's great for it. Yeah. Well, yeah, and you're right. The Capitol steps are kind of unlike any, well, basically what's bad for the country is good for the Capitol steps.
Right.
So you have to think that we get up in the morning and we don't think, okay, did this politician solve this problem? We think, oh, did they do something funny and what rhymes with it if they did?
Yeah, what's quite wonderful is you find ways to make comments on where we are, not only politically, but as a society, with songs like God Bless My SUV, Fever, or Twitter.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. My girlfriend is getting so inane. 40 times today on my PDA. My baby, she wrote me a Twitter. Every 2 minutes, something else to tell. Why the hell does she write LOL? Well, she likes her shampoo. Well, whoop-de-freaking-do. And lately, it's making me bitter.
How do you know when something is really ready to be satirized? I mean, when it becomes popular or...
You know, we don't always know because sometimes we have to put it out in front of an audience before we know.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, the song God Bless My SUV was originally written as a song that mocked SUV owners. I mean, here you are, you're driving this huge thing, gas prices are going up all the time,
mm-hmm.
And we were making fun of SUV owners. And we found that some people, when we got to the line, God bless my SUV, were like going, yeah, I got an SUV.
That went the wrong way, right?
So that was a kind of Rorschach test for which side of that issue you were on. And then on the Twitter song, I think maybe we might have been a little ahead of the curve on that one because we wrote that song when, you know, Twitter sort of first hit our consciousness, but we have to kind of wait for people to actually care about it or be annoyed by it before they'll laugh at a song about it.
How do you determine what is off limits and what you can satirize?
Sometimes you're not sure. You try it in front of an audience. We did a song about last summer. We did a song called "Midnight Raid to Georgia" when Putin went into Georgia. You know, Russia went into Georgia.
Right,
and it was a very serious subject. We weren't sure we could do it. But what we did was we had the pips, and we were kind of making fun of our own dancing abilities, to be very honest.
Good evening. I am Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, and I am here tonight to honor myself. As you're undoubtedly aware, I was appointed to the position of Prime Minister by my hand-picked successor as President, Dmitry Medvedev. It was such a shock. I had no idea he was even thinking of me, I must say. But nevertheless, I do accept on my own behalf. Gory. Prove too much for this man.
Too much for this man. So he's thinking.
So I think I might have to go. Whoa.
He said he's going.
I said I'm going back to find.
Going back to find.
What's left of Cold War? Of what I left behind not that long ago. Oh no, yes I'm leaving. On a midnight raid to Georgia.
Even on a midnight raid.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to look at a serious issue and you say, well, can I make fun at least of the politician that's handling it? For example, Hurricane Katrina was not the least bit funny, but,
right.
You know, Brownie, you're doing a heck of a
right.
job, and FEMA were very funny. So we kind of went after them.
So is there dancing in the auditions?
Well, yeah, if you're too good, yeah, if you're too good, you don't get in.
Okay, what I'd like to do now is play a game and called Where Will They Be in 10 Years? Okay, first one on the list is Dick Cheney.
Oh, my goodness, Dick Cheney. I'm sure it's some kind of cushy Halliburton contract, don't you think?
How about the Iran president, Ahmadinejad?
I'm a dinner jacket. I don't know, but given his fashion sense, I'm betting he's not going to be on Project Runway. He's he's the only person I know who still wears those members only jackets.
Speaking of fashion, how about the Taliban clothing?
I don't know. I mean, is there going to be like a wet burqa t-shirt contest or something? I don't know.
How about Cash for Clunkers?
Cash for Clunkers. We had written a song about Cash for Clunkers, and then all of a sudden it was not around anymore. That's one of those ones we're trying to figure out, okay, is this worth a song or is this going to be gone tomorrow?
Yeah, do we bring it back out?
Right. And that's often what we have to do. We have to think, is this story going to hang in the news more than a couple of weeks? Is it worth a song? Is everybody know about it? And so sometimes we guess right on that and sometimes we guess wrong. Some things, like Senator Larry Craig, when he was caught in the men's room. I mean, you could still make a joke about Senator Larry Craig and people would know exactly who he was and what happened.
Right.
But we didn't know for sure at first, so we wrote a song called Tap Three Times, you know, to the old Tony Orlando and Dawn song. And, and we had it in the show for quite a while. We were very surprised, but I guess that was good because that he didn't resign really helped.
Well, and that's interesting because I'm sure you have songs that they're probably good for a couple weeks and that's their lifespan, or...
Yeah, and it's sad to see them go. Some things work gangbusters for just a very short time. We had a song about the Somali pirates and the Navy SEALs taking them out, and that was really, really in the headlines, like 24 hours a day for a while, and then nobody's talking about it now, so there goes that song.
Okay, back to our game. the entire Bush family legacy.
Well, here's how Bush sums up his legacy in our show. So he looks back at former presidents and he said, you know, with Ronald Reagan, you had mourning in America. With Franklin Roosevelt, you had jobs. With Richard Nixon, you had going to China. But with George Bush, you got all three. Every mourning in America, jobs were going to China.
Ladies and gentlemen, George W. Bush.
Thank you for all the applause. My fellow Americans, as you know, we've had a historic election in our country. And despite my differences with Barack Obama, I must admit I do find him to be an inspiring man. He's written a book where he outlined several of his thoughts and ideas for the future. I haven't seen these ideas because they're in a book. Of course, for the past few months, I was described as having a lame duck presidency. I don't know what happened to my duck. Aflac. But as you may be aware, as my term is drawing closer to its end, I feel it's a time for refraction. And I've always shown the greatest affliction for the American people. Even my retractors agree that I've been successful in reversing many of the accomplishments of past administrations.
How about Barbara and Laura Bush? I've excluded them from the entire Bush legacy.
Well, you know, Barbara and Laura, they were kind of scandal-free, and, you know, we didn't really, you know, they were relatively well-liked, which is not always good for comedy. you know, Hillary was much more controversial, so she was better for comedy. But, you know, we didn't, I don't know that they'll be on the comedian's radar in 10 years.
How about Levi Johnston?
You know, I love him. He's like an 18-year-old kid that's hired a press agent. You know his goal in life is to be on, like, Survivor, you know, Botswana, right?
And he's going to be there. He has to, right? How about Cher's daughter, formerly known as Chastity?
Yeah, we actually tried to put a joke about her in the show, and we found that she was one of those one-day stories. We had some joke about her looking for an organ donor, you know, and it wasn't, you know, people kind of looked at us like, well, we don't really care about her.
Okay, two more. Twitter.
Twitter. I didn't hear what you just said. I was tweeting someone. What did you say?
And last but not least, she's just so fun, but Sarah Palin. We
are keeping our fingers crossed for Sarah Palin to run in 2012 because we have the wigs, we have the guns.
And you'd hate to get rid of all those props.
That's right. We love Sarah. Please run.
Well, it's officially here. We want her to run, so for you. Well, Elena Newport, it has been a true pleasure to have you on as a guest, and I hope we have you back either before 2012 or on 2012, January 1st, for another interview.
Well, we should, because our show changes all the time, and we could always, you know, tell you what we're up to, and if there's a scandal in the news, we could tell you what rhymes with it.
Well, you know what? We will call you for the next scandal. How's that?
Okay. All right. Cool.
And I really do look forward to doing this again, and it's really been a great pleasure.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot.
You won't send me emails.
I won't forward you dumb jokes.
You'll never IM to supporters or fans.
I'll just play World of Warcraft for most of the day.
I remember when Palm Pilots got much lighter.
Is that like a typewriter?
My BlackBerry's a must. I'm a tech gadget guy.
Well, I just got a Bluetooth. How high tech am I?
But you got it from eating a blueberry pie.
I don't spend time flossing anymore.
For more information on the Capitol Steps, visit our website at eaglestalent.com. If you have any comments or you have any suggestions for other speakers and entertainers for a podcast interview, you can go to our blog and leave a comment at www.speakersbureaublog.com. Don't forget, if you want the latest podcast, all you have to do now is go to iTunes and subscribe. Just key the words Eagles Talent Speakers Bureau. Well, I've been your host, Sheldon Sunek, and remember, keep America meeting.
A bit outdated.
Email is overrated. Though to fix our economy, I looked for hints. I just never heard back from that Nigerian prince.
I'll explain again. Press P for program record.
You mean P on my keyboard?
With my BlackBerry, I'll work from meetings and cars.
Email Scarlett Johansson and Hollywood stars.
But reception is bad. Do you have any bars?
You know I'm not drinking anymore.
Now they've said I can keep it if emails are few. With my BlackBerry, I'm bringing changes, it's true.
Do they make a WhiteBerry for Caucasians too? It's keys.
I will be stroking.
You're hooked.
It's true, no joking.
Addictive, just like smoking.
Even more.
Come on, bud.